Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook and at highlandradio.com.
Thanks again to Leonard, Troy and Paddy for their contribution over the course of the last hour. We appreciate all of your texts as well. I'll get through some of them now. Just a couple of things. Hi, Greg. Congrats to you and Highland Radio for putting your show on the road yesterday and highlighting the deservedly. So Annagree Community run charity shop, and Annagree itself, I'm sure it did wonders for a small community like Annagree and is very much appreciated. And listen, we're always open to suggestions, by the way. If you have, maybe you want us to come into your area, we have to be well treated though. Buns, coffee, stuff like that. It's not essential, but it helps. But all jokes aside, you know, if you've got your small community doing great work and you want a light shone on it, well, we'll see. If we can get there, let us know. 086 60 25,000, or give us a call. Can't guarantee anything, but certainly look at all options. I talked to, I didn't mention V. It was quite interesting that V came up. It was Diana, of course it was Diana, the brunette that ate the rat. It was indeed. It's just one of those memories from TV that stands out. Right, on to more serious comments. WTF he's talking about, we need more migrants. Try making it worthwhile for 50,000 of our own to come home and offer the incentives they need to start families. You do not solve problems by importing them, especially those with no skill set. Have a bit of cop on. That comes in from Sinead and Glencar. And Sinead, listen, this is actually a conversation almost separate to the immigration migration conversation. 50,000 people coming home to Ireland is not going to cut it. We can't make people have babies either. The reality is the birth rate in this country has slowed ground to a halt. I think it's like 1.3 per woman. And the death rate, obviously, is what it is. People are living longer. There is just a reality, Sinead. We cannot or will not. And it's a global problem as well. It's the same in America, China, Japan, elsewhere. From our own population, unless people start having more children, the economy cannot survive. It will face collapse. Japan have warned of that being within the next 10 to 20 years. I'm not saying what the solution is, by the way, but that is the reality. And bringing 50,000 people home and saying, please have kids, is not going to fix it either. But that's a global problem that many countries are having. Greg, what's this global outage all about? I don't know, to be honest with you. I know people are having some issues with Microsoft and stuff. We'll dig into that. Greg is the only one talking sense, and I say, why groups of men only are here and they're out of jail? Why are they not kept to fight wars in their own country? A lot of people ask that same question of a lot of the younger Ukrainian men. What are they doing here? They should be over there. Paddy Leo Varadkar's father is Indian. Greg, how does Highland always find a panel that agrees with the government's thinking re-immigration? Well, I'm not sure it's there's no planning to that. But I mean, like, what is the public's view on immigration and the government? We're just off the back of the local elections, and there was no massive rise of an anti-immigration vote. We're coming up to a general election now. The opinion polls, for what they are, tell us that the likelihood is that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and another will be back in government after the next election, unless Sinn Féin and others can do something unbelievable over the next couple of months. So maybe the majority of the public, when it comes to the ballot box, feel the same. I don't know. When the Irish went to other countries, they had to find their own accommodation and find work to pay for themselves. What happened now is very different. I moved to another country and found my own accommodation and work. The government are supporting these people with taxpayers' money. I mean, you know, the bottom line is me. I did it. I never got anything in England. I went over to England to work, hence the mixed up accent that I have. I worked over in the bars there. Didn't enjoy it, but I stuck it out. My mum and dad did the same thing, but they never received any payments. So that's why I don't think it's a great argument about the Irish versus what have you. We were able to go and have opportunities, don't get me wrong, but I don't think the most of the public see it's the same thing. And I'm not sure it's a very good argument, because we all have sort of family experience or personal experience of that. The welcoming groups under direct provision contracts are paid by the host company. They have a vested interest and are usually responsible for throwing the racist card to silence community opposition. Ask Paddy how he would feel if a neighbour of his would turn a house into an iPass centre. Would he have issues with it if it was all males? I mean, that is the million-dollar question, and that's the question, you know, the ordinary people of Coolock. And listen, in relation to a lot of the violence down there, there's a lot of young people who perhaps are struggling to get work or what have you, and they've seen this public unrest as an opportunity to tear the place up a little bit. I don't really even think most of them probably have an understanding of why they're chucking rocks and petrol bombs at the Gardaí. You know what I mean? So I don't. It's probably somewhat over-amplified in terms of what the actual view of the people of Coolock are. But, you know, any community, I think, in this day and age, if you're going to have an IPASS centre, and there's going to be five or six of them around the country, and there's no answers given to them, there's going to be a pushback on it. And that's just the way it is. And saying, oh, we've spoken to the community, when you've only spoken to those that agree with you, is not consultation. And unless the government start getting it right, this is only going to just keep happening all over the place. Maybe in a few years, one of these young men will take your job on the 9 till noon show. Just saying, maybe. Maybe I'll be long gone. I feel a bigger concern for us is the fact that this population are also ageing. And what are we going to do with them, the Irish population? Our elderly services are the most underfunded. Another, what's going to be done about the accommodation in Letterkenny? My son and his girlfriend have to drive a 100-mile round trip every day to work because they can't get a flat. What's the point of having businesses come to Letterkenny if there's nowhere for the employees to live? And businesses will say that and childcare are two of the biggest issues in terms of recruitment. Pushing the racist accusation is a great way to stop people voicing their opinions. Our country will be destroyed and no good for anyone if we don't have controls, fair and honest. Stop the sneaky underhand activity and calling genuine Irish people all kinds of name. And please explain far right and stop name calling, says a texter. Have any of these speakers looked at the statistics in crime in any countries taking in large amounts of immigrants? There is a large increase every time. I mean, I get where you're coming from, the type of crime that's there. But I mean, obviously, from an Ireland's perspective, our population has grown significantly and the crime levels have grown in proportion with the population growth. They haven't at this point, and you might say, well, wait till you see what's coming. OK, that's fine. But at the moment, the population, the crime statistics aren't ahead of the population growth. Can any speaker justify the rape and murder of a 13-year-old girl by three foreign men, one male and two male? No reason, just their hatred. No, how could anyone explain that? How could anyone explain the awfulness that's going on? How can you explain anyone from any nationality having child abuse images on their computer? How can you explain any person of any nationality abusing children to whereby there's a record number of children contacting Childline and our mental health services are overwhelmed with children who are being mistreated, regardless of where they're come from? How could anyone justify any of that? We let it happen to some extent. A caller says RTE, they get to keep their television licence and now they're also getting funding from government. This is simply letting them have their cake and then eat it. They are being rewarded for doing a bad job. What's the point in electing a government if none of them will do anything about these issues? Well, it's a year on from the RTE scandal, and where we seem to be is that everything is the same in RTE, except those that didn't want to divulge any external deals that they had left. All the usual faces are still really there to some extent. Ryan Tuberty's getting on like a house on fire. He's living his life in his happy out. And the licence fee is there. And instead of it being scrapped or changed, they're actually just going to... Revenue's not going to collect it, but they're going to toughen up the gathering it in through en poste. And then money from the Exchequer is going to go to help support that. But that's fine. But as I say, in terms of public service broadcasting, I talked a little earlier about what I believe it should be, having the national conversation, you know, speaking to all people of all different backgrounds, representing the views of the people in Coolock or in Donegal, like we try and do, because the 99% of people are considered and concerned, I think. And their voices aren't really heard. And this crap of interviewing someone on the side of the street and saying, oh, you know, that's that side covered. And then having footage of other people chucking stones and saying that side covered. That's not public service broadcasting, in my view. Regarding the alleged threat, well, it's not alleged. I saw it. It happened. Regarding the threat to kill Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou and Garda Commissioner Drew Harris, RTE News last evening reported that a suspect had been arrested and was being detained in custody. The suspect's photo was shown, and even though he was wearing a balaclava, he could possibly be identified. Paul Reynolds then went on to give details of the suspect's previous criminal history. Surely such reporting would prejudice any future criminal trial. I feel this guy's literally got a get out of jail card. I know where you're coming from. But I mean, I know this guy. He's quite prolific on social media. I recognised him as soon as he had that silly balaclava on. And often, I suppose, criminals' background is mentioned. I think you make a good point. I'm not sure what the ramifications are for a trial, but there you go. If you had a water tap running into a bucket and the bucket started to overflow, you turn off the tap. Simple solution: if the bucket can't hold any more, cut off the supply or get a bigger bucket. That could be a solution as well. Kieran Brogan is the chair of the Regional Health Forum West, and at a recent meeting he asked, can we get an updated report on the rollout of the new Celta area? Councillor Kieran Brogan is with us now. Good morning, Kieran. Thanks for your time as always.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. Right. I suppose you got a detailed response at the Regional Health Forum meeting, or from the Regional Health Forum meeting, and what was Celta saying about the rollout of the new area?
Well, I suppose there are a lot of work just to do on that yet, Greg, with regards appointments and recruitment. And I suppose it's about us remaining focused on our own area, which is the Northwest. And I suppose that's my priority in this area, Greg. And in fairness, I think having taken over the role as chairperson now, that again puts plenty of emphasis on the whole of Northwest and indeed Letterkenny and Donegal, and that's what I'm there to do.
Do you see the reorganisation of the Celta area as having positives for Letterkenny University Hospital? Because I note an awful lot of the questions that were put to the HSE from yourself and others on the board. A lot of it is, well, it's under review, we're looking at this, we're hoping to do this next year. Is there a sense that things might improve in Letterkenny and services that were lost or that are occasional might be returned or enhanced?
Yeah, well, I think, to be honest, there's been a fair level of commitment, and I would have to say for all my colleagues who are representing Donegal now and have done so in the past, we all put on the Donegal jersey when we're travelling to Galway in the meetings, and we're all representing the same issues and concerns. The biggest area, the biggest challenge that we've had over the last number of years is actually filling the positions, the whole area of recruitment. And I think we have a job to do on how we maybe portray this area of the Northwest and Donegal. And I suppose talking about the great quality of life that we have to offer here in this area, I think that's important. And I think we've been successful in the past in filling a lot of positions, but I think we have more to do in this area going forward. And look, there's many services that are facing a lot of challenges, but I think we have a job to do is to keep the focus on. But to be fair to the management that we've met and we have had meetings with them, over the course of the last number of years, they're fully committed to filling the positions that's there. The positions have been approved, and that's what we'll continue to do, because I suppose the more people that we can get filling positions in Letterkenny, that avoids the journey of people having to travel to Sligo or Galway or indeed Dublin.
A lot of the recruitment, it seems, in the response to you is in the office, so to speak, regional executive management team. They're looking for a regional clinical director, regional director of planning and performance, regional director for people, regional executive nurse midwife, regional director of population and public health, IHA managers, regional director of finance, e-health director, regional director of communications and public affairs, regional disability lead, office of the regional executive officer, integrated healthcare areas. It sounds an awful lot. Sounds an awful lot bureaucracy top heavy. Do you have any concerns in that regard, or are these people needed to work in the Northwest so we have a greater level of accountability and, I suppose, lobbying, or what might be required?
No, in fact, if it can make the decision-making process simpler for us, then I'd be happy with it, because as I've seen it over the last number of years, too many decisions had to be signed off in Dublin or maybe further afield. And if we can have regional decisions back in place like we used to have in the old Northwestern Health Board days, that decisions could be taken on a more regional basis and decisions could be taken speedy as well, I think that's important. So whatever we can do to fast track the process that's there, that's important at a local level. But the biggest challenge for us in the whole area of recruitment is actually our healthcare consultants, the nurses, the doctors. And a lot of work has gone into that over the last while. And in fairness to the Irish government, they've committed over 46 million to the new University of Ulster and McGee, that's offering a lot more opportunities for people to remain in the Northwest. And hopefully we can retain that talent then when they do the college in the Northwest. And I think there's a lot of efforts we made, even with the ATU and with the hospitals locally, working on overcoming the hurdles of filling positions here in Donegal. And I think there's a lot of opportunity here. And I suppose what we need to try and do is try and encourage and make the circumstances better for people who have decided over the last number of years to emigrate for whatever reason, that there is jobs and good jobs here available in the Northwest. And we've seen huge investment in this area over the last number of years. And the new hospital in Ballyshannon, we've seen the new primary care in Donegal Town, we've seen new primary care in Buncrana, we have the new 110-bed community nursing unit in Letterkenny. So there's going to be lots of opportunity for young people in health. We never were producing as many people through the medical colleges, and we need to try and encourage as many of them back here to work, because we need them more than we need them. There'll be more than ever we needed them before.
Yeah, indeed. Kieran, thank you very much for your time. Congratulations, by the way, on your appointment as chair. I meant to say that at the beginning. Take care of yourself. Thank you.
Thanks
bye-bye.
Thanks very much, Greg.
That's Councillor Kieran Brogan of Fianna Fáil. He's chair of the Regional Health Forum West now. That was response just to as it relates to the... the future provision of healthcare in this county. A couple of things I want to announce here. Let me see. Yeah, the R236 will be closed. That's between Rafoe and Convoy. From Monday 22nd of July and Friday the 26th of July, between the hours of 8 a.m. and 6 p.m, there will be diversions in place. And I wanted to mention Business Matters as well. Yeah. Business Matters this week, Chris Ashton was speaking with the owners of a new pet-friendly coffee shop in Letterkenny. It's called Brosif, which has been set up by Paddy and James Malloy from Glenties. He'll also be talking with Stephen Perry of the Local Enterprise Office about an enhanced energy efficient grant of up to 10 grand for businesses. That's Business Matters this Sunday after the 6 o'clock news. We're also asking you, by the way, and we can continue this through That's Entertainment, because it's not just about telly and whatever, it's about getting out and having fun and doing whatever you want to do. What are your favourite summer memories? You know, when you think of your childhood, what invokes that happy memory for you? Share that with us as well. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number. Your favourite summer memories, or what are you doing this summer that makes you happy? I think health comes down to it a lot, but when we're younger, we don't think of health and we find pleasure, often, many of us don't, and we find pleasure in other ways. So what was your memories? Humid, wet summers fishing on Merva River or out in Mullinasol Bay, Lahey River, all of that stuff. That's fantastic memories for me. Also, you know, there was the freedom. You headed away in the morning and maybe come back for lunch, but Mom used to put a sheet out over that. You could see our house, it was somewhat elevated, and she used to put a sheet out on the balcony, and that meant it was time to come home or for dinner. Do you know what I mean? Obviously there was no phone calls, there was no "you're all right" or "where are you?" And, you know, then you're not worried as much. We weren't scared. You know what I mean? A lot of young people now are scared or fearful, or they think something's going to happen to them. And thankfully, we do live in a, for the most part, safe country. But we were lucky. I feel lucky looking back. But what's your memories or your reflections on your youth in the summer and during your summer holidays? Warning from Australia, don't turn on your laptop if you can hold off, as there's a worldwide Microsoft outage and loads of computers going blue screen. Death screen, might not be able to get them back again. All blank banks in Australia and other major business computers are affected. It might be a crash or a computer virus. They say it's global. All right, interesting. Why don't the government turn off the tap? We can't cope with the numbers. Is the EU paying the government to take in all these numbers? We had Leo Varadkar when he was Taoiseach telling the world Ireland's one of the richest countries in the world, yet our hospitals and other services are crumbling. Please read this. Of course I'll read it. It's fine. It's your point of view. The thing is too, though, you know, like, there are other countries, America, Britain, who are actively, and Brexit and elections were fought over this to some extent, actively saying, like, England is saying, no more refugees, you can't come in, you can't come in boats, you can't do this, that and the other. And yet there's a flood of refugees into Britain as well. So even if you say, and I think Paddy's referenced this a couple of times, and he's right in this regard, is that even if you say, right, we're pulling up the drawbridge, no more, it doesn't really work like that. It really actually genuinely doesn't work like that. But even on a global scale, a European-wide scale, Ursula von der Leyen, one of the promises she made was an extra, was it 30,000 EU border security people to try and control immigration. So it is a pan-Europe thing, but it's a global thing as well. The bottom line is for many reasons, be it war, money, climate. The world is shifting. People are on the move. And that just is the way it is. So what the future holds or how that's dealt with or managed or whether it is or not, it's going to be a conversation that's been had in many areas of the world for many years to come. Hi, Craig. Ordinary people are angry about the fact that their country is changing so rapidly. The government's new plantation policies, some people call it. I don't think that language is helpful, Ethan. I don't think it really works or lands. But anyway, the new plantation policy is damaging social cohesion. Do you feel that in your community? Do you believe the social fabric of your community has actually changed? There's an awful lot of people already here that have been here for a very long time. All right, okay. Good morning, Mickey.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Not too bad at all. What say you?
I was listening to some of the stuff that the calls there about Ireland is full and all that. Complete, absolute nonsense.
Right.
And it strikes me that there's a lot of it as either sexist or racist, because they're saying we don't want a bunch of men there. Not all men are rapists.
Mm-hmm.
There are people may be surprised to hear that, but not all men are rapists. And the crack about, you know, we need to be able to be consulted. I have absolutely no right to say to my neighbour who's going to move into his house.
Mm-hmm.
None whatsoever.
So with that in mind, Mickey, if you live beside a former B&B or something, and, you know, and there's 25 rooms and a planning application went in to house IPASS applicants in there, you know, maybe four to a room, you wouldn't pause for thought on that at all. You would say that's just fine. That's their property. They'll just be
yes.
My new neighbours.
That's exactly what I would say, because let's face it, they might be four to a room, and that would be completely and absolutely not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's better than slipping on a tent by the side of the canal. It beats that. And this crack of, there was a thing on the TV the last night about somewhere down the country, it might have been Offaly, I'm not 100% sure,
mm-hmm.
An hotel.
Yeah,
that there'd been 200 Ukrainians in, and they have moved out, and they wanted to use it now for asylum seekers. And everybody's out protesting. That is blatantly, obviously racist. It's completely and absolutely 200 white Ukrainians, they were dead on. 200 possibly coloured people. Oh, God, no, we can't have that.
Okay,
I mean,
but
wrong.
But let's just say, for the conversation's sake, Mickey, and this is why it's important to have conversations, I'm playing devil's advocate here. I presume if it's the same as the hotels up here, the majority of them would be a mixture of primarily women and children, regardless of their skin
yeah.
colour. Now,
yeah.
say, for instance, you had a community and there were 250 men, And they were all sort of like 18 to 25, not black, you know,
yeah.
but from, I don't know, from North France or from Poland or whatever. Do you not still
yeah.
think there would be a level of concern in the community? What are these men going to do? And let's just say also, too, some of them were from Russia, some of them were from Ukraine, and some of them were from yeah. Belgium, okay? And there were 250, 300 yeah. white fellas moved in there. There's nothing for them to do in the area whatsoever. Do you not think people would still have concern and say, well, what's going on here? Or are you convinced
no,
it's just down to the colour of the skin? Because
no,
I would say if it were all white guys, people would have issues as well.
This is a red herring. We can't have we can't have 250 men because they would be rapists, but we can have 250 women. Come on, in the name of God. Let's talk sense.
Hmm.
Because this whole thing of we can't have men because they're dangerous in some way. You know, and misogynistic is a word for a hatred of women, and I think it's misandrinistic or something like that is for hatred of men.
Do you have
There's
any concern?
Wrong here.
Do you have any concern that these men coming from other countries they might have a different, you know, they might be of a different religion, a different culture. Some of them might have a different attitude towards women and women's role in society,
of
or
course.
Women's role in the. Would you have a concern
no
in that regard?
For that.
Beg your pardon?
There is no. Well, you see, my concern in that regard is dead simple. We need to be saying to any man who comes here from a country that treats women badly, listen, sunshine, you're in Ireland now and you're not going to behave like that.
Yeah, but that's not happening.
And if you do, well, why not?
I don't know. I don't know, because
well,
we don't
exactly.
really know necessarily. Some of these people are coming, or many of them now, are coming without any documentation. We don't know anything of their background or their views.
How do we know? Oh, wait a wee minute. How do we know it's not happening? And what kind of a God-scuttered country are we living in? Coming here with any documentation, to get an aeroplane, you must produce documentation.
Yes.
Right? Now, I'm listening to this complete, absolute nonsense. People are dumping them on the toilet and the plane and all that sort of stuff, which is very probably true. Now, it's dead simple. If you arrive in Ireland without documentation, you're put on the very next plane back out of it again.
But Mickey,
you see,
much of what you're saying, some will agree with. But see, when it comes down to what you're talking about, maybe discussing people's attitudes, cultural attitudes, and if they don't align to what we've come to expect here, maybe they wouldn't be welcome. I think you sort of said that. And also, too, if you come here without documentation, you're bussed straight out of the place again. But that's not what the rules are. Anyone, regardless of their background or whatever.
The rules.
Okay, but that is what a lot of, that's all of what a lot of people want, Mickey. They just want to be assured that the people...
No.
Yes, because if the local Gardaí could come to a community and say, by the way, we're moving 200 men into this area, it might take a while to get to know them, but we know their backgrounds. None of them have any criminal background. None of them are very hardline in their religious views. That information is not being given to communities, Mickey. And if it were... we
Nor probably... should it be.
Well, if...
It is absolutely... No, hold on a minute. Hold on now. If I have a criminal record, it is absolutely nobody else's business. How dare people suggest I need to know everything about you before you move on?
Well, that's not strictly true, because in Northern Ireland, it's probably going to happen here. You can make contact with the Gardaí if you enter into a new relationship, and you can ask if there's any domestic violence convictions against them.
If you're,
and you'll be told.
Yeah,
you will be told in Northern Ireland.
Hold on. If you enter into a new relationship, yeah. If you're next door neighbour and you have no relationship whatsoever with him, you have no right to know what his background is.
Okay, well, and just for devil's advocate, because we can't be a la carte in this, Mickey, then if someone is convicted of a sexual offence or abuse of children, you don't think that local communities should be given that information where there are children present?
Well, you see, when you're playing devil's advocate there,
yes,
and there is absolutely, there has to be exceptions to every rule.
But you see, this
and
is it now.
Anybody
Mickey.
Who abuses, the people who abuse children are, well, at best,
the lowest of the low. Of course, but my point now is though, who is the arbitrator of that? Who says that we have to let people know if someone has been. But then, I mean, that we have to also then include the abuse or rape or murder of women. That would have to be in there as well, because that's also abhorrent.
No, it doesn't.
Right, okay.
No, you see, you know, you're into different people with a different mindsets than that. I happen to think that anybody who abuses a child is scum
we
of
all
the highest
agree.
Order.
Of course, Mickey, of course.
Listen, a rapist is a very unpleasant human being. At best, and it's usually a he, is an unpleasant human being at very best, and probably should be boycotted. But that's a society decision.
I get you. All right, Mickey, listen, thank you very much for that. Brian's with us as well. Brian, what's your view?
Just to pick up on something that Mickey said, I once got into conversation with a person in administration in McGilligan Prison. And she told me a very sad but interesting fact that the abusers in that prison, actually several of them had requested to stay in prison after their sentence was over because they couldn't control themselves. They did not want to be let out into the open, into the public arena. I just mentioned that in passing. It's nothing to do with the subject exactly. Just a very interesting fact. I hope your listeners find it interesting and sad in some ways. In regard to immigration, I have some experience of it here now in Bunkrana. The big question that I see, only touched on lightly, it's touched on there today now in your program, is the ethnic differences between people are very, very important. I did first year social science at UCD. Another friend of mine, Kevin Doherty, deceased now, Father Kevin Doherty of Rathmullen, started on the same course. He pursued it. I didn't. I changed it to philosophy. But he told me something that I didn't, I've been mulling over the years. Ethnic differences are of gigantic importance, very quietly, but very really present in communities. Take the Balkans, the Yugoslavian conflict, absolutely going on from generation to generation. Another illustration is that he gave me was that the itinerants left Ireland at the same time as others did during the famine in the 1840s, went to America. They are still in itinerant groupings in America.
I don't think members of the travelling community like to be called itinerants any longer, Brian.
Well, travelling community, it's not the name I'm talking about. It's the fact that ethnic differences persist through generations for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. Now, we have the same challenge here. I see no difference between an immigrant coming into Ireland, in principle, no difference between an immigrant and a newborn baby, except that the immigrant has to be enculturated. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not being done. We're doing a worse than half-assed job at the moment.
But to which culture right? do you educate them on? I mean, you know, we can ethnicity...
Into Irish culture.
Yes, but ethnicity...
Irish culture. They've got to have the language.
Yes, but we're a 32-county Ireland, and you can call it ethnicity or
but they
cultural.
All speak Ireland. They all speak English.
I understand that, but there are many people, say, for instance, on this island and in this county that align themselves far more with British values, perhaps, than Irish values. Do you align their ethnic views to the Protestant community, the Catholic community, atheists? You know, what is Irish culture that we're looking to align them to? We haven't figured it out internally yet.
I know you're being the devil's advocate. Look, what we're talking about in the first place here is the language. They don't speak English. They can't participate very easily in the workforce. And we desperately need the help of new able-bodied people, men and women. I'm just back from Galway Hospital, and nearly all the nurses there are of Indian origin, mm-hmm. and very good they are. But these people speak perfect English. Now, the people coming from Nigeria, they're lovely people, but they don't speak English. Mm-hmm. And then if you wish to go beyond the language problem, which is very straightforwardly mm-hmm. addressed, does cost money. You've got to provide teachers. And that's being done in a half-assed way at the minute.
Also, one of the biggest barriers to Ukrainian people entering the workforce or getting involved in the community is, and this is not me saying it, it's those that work with them, is the language barrier.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
It's a fact.
It's more so with the Africans, even African priests coming into Ireland and England and elsewhere. They are not being trained properly.
I spoke with a Nigerian priest based in Ironmore, Burtonport, 2 weeks ago, and his English was perfect.
Well, I know for a fact that that's not the case with many. If, for instance, in Nottingham, where I have some in-laws, they have stopped going to church because the priest cannot be understood. Mm. The congregation is mostly African now.
Brian, and I think this feeds into your point, and what we have seen in areas of Britain, for an example, my family would have originally emigrated to Handsworth in Birmingham. It's completely different. It used to be predominantly Irish. Now it's predominantly different races, and Leeds, and there are other areas or suburbs of London whereby there's not as much integration as there should be, and people sort of live their lives through, you know, through culture and language as they might in their birth country. So are you saying that we have an early opportunity here to try and do integration better?
The first thing and the easiest thing is to get the language problem solved. That's purely a matter of organization and a little bit of finance. Get the language and then they can participate in the workforce. But much more difficult is the wider ethnic difference. Now, for instance, the Sharia law. I mean, already they are very quietly talking, and not so quietly in some places, of having a caliphate in various parts of the UK and in France. And possibly even in this country, a caliphate where Sharia law operates. In other words, women have a very inferior place and men can have four wives and so on. This is something for which the guns would come out again. You know, you can't have that. That's against natural law. It's not just against Catholic or Christian law. It's against natural law. And that overrides everything. Mm. It's wrong, full stop.
But Sharia law, though, is a very hardcore interpretation of Islam, though. I mean, every person who is Islamic would not subscribe to Sharia law, though. I mean, I think that needs to be clarified too.
Well, I'm out of my depth there. I don't know the Islamic faith very much. From information I've had from people who have studied it, it's 50% religion, 50% politics. It's not like other Christian faiths. It's much more political. I don't want to pontificate.
I should be clear. It's the Sharia law that we a lot of people talk of. It is part of the Muslim belief and system, but it's not representative of all of it. But anyway, listen. I take your point, Brian.
In Somalia, Sean. Before you go, yeah. In Somalia, where there's strong Muslim government, ladies or girls are not even allowed to go to primary school. We have some of them in Bunkrana, and they have suffered terribly. Some of them dreadfully, even operations of the dreadful nature that they go in for, genital mutilation and so on. This does operate where you have strong Muslim predominance. You don't want that in Ireland under any circumstances. Mm. Now, we have to deal with that.
How would that happen,
difference,
though, whereby, you know, if a certain amount of people of a certain belief system move into this country, it's like, even by 2057, in the worst case scenario, indigenous, in inverted commas, Irish would be far greater in number than people coming to this country. Now, they're not all going to have that particular faith or that belief system. So, like, what is the threat to our culture? I mean, as I say, in the worst case scenario, by 2057, the majority of people here will still be Indigenous Ireland, Irish, in inverted commas.
Well, never mind 2057. 6 months ago, it was counted, there had been 200 arson and other attacks on Catholic churches in France. Now, that was all Muslim, all of them Muslim. 200 attacks. Now, you know about Notre Dame being burnt and another church recently set on fire. Cathedral, again, managed to get it out, thanks be to God. But these people, ethnic differences, this took me half a lifetime to appreciate what Father Kevin Doherty was saying. Ethnic differences are huge, and they're quietly under the surface until circumstances allow them to surface. We need to deal with those now and be the leader in the Western world instead of trailing behind everybody. We need to be intelligent, learn from everybody else, and take the lead.
Mm. Okay, listen, I mean, we saw a lot of what you talk of in France was formed part of the most recent elections over there, and we can see the political swings that are happening in France at the moment. Okay, Brian, listen, thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate it. Thanks to Mickey as well. Again, you know, everyone has different opinions. We might not all agree with everything that everybody says, but unless we listen and air, but not over-amplify all different opinions as well, we're really not going to get anywhere whatsoever. Best news is that Microsoft outage is not a cyber attack, but how glum are MacBook users at the moment going? maybe the Guinness pints were 0-0 Guinness. Maybe they were. Greg, you and others say that people should be informed about refugees, non-nationals, well, they are foreign nationals, coming to their area. Do you honestly think that would make any difference to the thugs and rioters who have a far-right agenda? But people are being labelled in that way because just by simply expressing concerns. So if you're not having a conversation, and if anyone says anything that you don't like and you call them far right, we're just going around in a circle. Look at the events in Leeds last night. Majority of the rioters were from ethnic backgrounds. Wait and see what's coming. We'll look at Coolock, the majority of rioters, and look at the riots in Dublin. They were from a white background. What does that mean? Really, we have to get down to the bottom line as to you know, how we all move forward in the best possible way. We'll have lots of you texting in. We're going to carry those over to Monday. Because we're going to take a break from all the seriousness that's out there today. We're going to be joined by Michael and Fionnuala shortly, and we're going to chill a little bit, talk a little bit more frivolously. We want you involved in that conversation as well, please. News on the way.